Hey, everybody. I'm really excited about introducing our communicator today. Randall Tanini has been on our staff for 8 years. He's our high school pastor. He's been our middle school pastor. He's been serving with our young people for 8 years now. Randall is somebody who understands family and understands how to make family strong. Matter of fact, he's growing his own strong family. He's got a beautiful wife and 3 beautiful kids. They love each other. They love the Lord. As for Randall and his house, they're serving the Lord and they're serving him together. And it's kind of exciting to watch Randall's family grow. You know, I've known him for so long now. I've seen how his family has developed. And I can't think of anybody who would do a better job of speaking to us from that younger generation about how to have a strong family and build those enduring values that make every family strong. So friends, I'm excited about Randall's talk. I hope you give him a warm welcome. Let's give him that warm Savannah Christian welcome as he comes to share with us today. Hey.
Don't you guys love Cam? I love Cam, and he is an awesome example to us younger pastors of what it looks like to raise a family up in the Lord. I just want to encourage you today, you know, if this is your first time here, you look around and you think, okay, you're in a family series. My family isn't this perfect example of what it looks like to have a family. And I just want to encourage you, join the group, man. Join the group. I'm right there with you. I struggle. I've got a lot of things that I need God to just take over in my life. And so really what we're talking about when we come into this series, Family Strong, is knowing that we don't enter in strong, but by God's grace, we're made strong. And that's the only thing that I found to be real and active in my life. And so that's what I want to share today before we start it. Again, if you're new, welcome. This is the Henderson campus. This is one church, many locations. And so there are many different groups of people that are going to be joining us along through the online or different locations. And so I want you to know that you're part of a bigger body all throughout Savannah, Effingham, Statesboro, that God is doing something through. And so before we enter in, and we're about to talk about this one thing, Speaking the truth. That's what we're talking about today. I want to pray before we start. Father God, I thank you that you are the truth. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I have found nothing else to be so true. I've searched, I've looked, and I pray, Lord, that by your grace today you speak a strong word that affects our hearts, hits our hearts in a real way, because there are a lot of different ideas out there of what it looks like to have a strong family. And there are a lot of ideas of what it looks like to have truth. But we come to you, God, humbly asking for the truth that you teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you got your Bibles today, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 25. So that's where we're going to be landing today. I'm going to set us up before we get into that passage. But again, if you've got your Bibles, Ephesians 4, 17 through 25. If you don't have a Bible, we've got one right there in the seat in front of you. You can grab that. It's on page 978 is where we're going to be. So you can grab those. But I think when we're talking about speaking the truth, this is one of those truths that I have to speak before we get into this. And it's a great quote from a guy named Tim Keller. He's a pastor. And he says, marriage is 2 broken people having little broken people. Marriage is 2 broken people having little broken people. And I can't tell you how true that is in my life. Now, I've got, as Cam said, 3 kids. My oldest, he's 4. And one of the things that we've tried to do since he was little was to speak truth into his life. But as you might have, you know, picked up on, as you work with kids, truth is not an inherent thing in them. It really has to be taught. And so I'm finding that it's like a constant thing that I'm having to work on with my son. And it was funny, one night it just kind of came true, you know, in just a real way, where I was at a friend's party. And we just finished up the party. I'd gotten my 3 kids into my minivan there. Yeah, I'm in the minivan. It's all good. I'm okay with that. And so we get him in the minivan, and he runs up. My friend runs up with his wife. He's like, stop. I was like, what's up? He said, I got to tell you something before you leave. He said, your son was in there with my daughters. And my son loves to watch TV. And he finds the DVDs. And he starts looking through all the DVDs. He's like, what do you guys have here? And so he starts looking through, and he finds VeggieTales. Now, if you don't know what VeggieTales is, it's just little vegetables that, they act out Bible stories. And we've had my son watching VeggieTales since he was little because we want him to know the truth. We want him to know who God is. We want him to have a relationship with God. And so we've grown him up watching VeggieTales. And he comes across VeggieTales, and he picks it out, and he says, you guys have VeggieTales. My mommy and daddy make me watch VeggieTales. I hate VeggieTales. Pastor's kid hates VeggieTales. Two broken people having little broken people. One of the things that I do, and if you don't do this right now, I want to encourage you to do this, is I try to read Bible stories with my kids every night. One thing that has really helped us is the Jesus Storybook Bible. You can pick it up in the Source Bookstore. That's a shameless plug because I believe in it. And you should do that. But just know that your kids are going to be resistant to the truth. Do you know why? Because you and I are resistant to the truth. God has to work on our hearts to get us to a place where we understand that the truth is important and we need the truth. So tonight, the point that I want us to get through as we go through all of this, the one main point is you can't speak the truth until you've been radically changed by the truth. You can't speak the truth until you've been radically changed by the truth. And I'm telling you, I pray for my kids all the time that they're radically changed by the truth, because I can't assume that on them. See, the struggle is we live in a world where the truth is not black and white. It's very gray. It's very blurry. And don't you just get that thing inside of you that sometimes it's just this frustration of, just tell me the truth. I need the truth. I feel like everything around me is full of lies. I just need the truth. There's a study that was done that talks about the opposite of truth, lies. And it was a funny result because here's what it said. When asked the question, are you a liar? Nearly 97% of people answer no. When the remaining 3% self-confessed liars are asked questions, they turn out to be, on average, 28 times more honest than the people who claimed they never lied. We have to come to the truth and the realization we lie a lot, and we need the truth to change us. We have to admit how much lying is a part of our lives, and I want you to think about this right now. What are the lies that you're telling yourself? What are the lies that you're believing? You know, you think about this. What are the lies that you're telling yourself about your family? What are the lies you're telling yourself about your kids? What are the lies you're telling yourself about your marriage? What are the lies you're telling yourself about God? You know, that's where we got to come to today. When we're entering into this and believing this, we got to come into this today just being honest with where we're at. Another great Tim Keller quote is, he says, Satan doesn't control us with fang marks on the flesh, but with lies in the heart. See, a lot of the times we don't see how much he's affecting all the things around us. But when we look in our heart, what are the things that we're believing right now? Because some of the lies you might be telling yourself is, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect. I have to be the perfect parent. I have to be the perfect spouse. My question is, how's that working for you? You say, well, I've got to make myself happy. And the only thing that's going to make me happy is if my kids are happy. And so if they're not happy, then I'm not happy. Again, how's that working? Well, I just got to believe in myself. I just got to believe that I'm good enough. I just got to believe that I can do this on my own. The lies we might be telling ourselves about our marriage. The lies that just kind of keep going on and on and on and on. Well, it's just all your fault. Why did I even marry you? We should just give up. It's not worth it. You'll never change. Why can't you be like so-and-so? You know, what are the lies that we're believing right now about our family? And I just want to speak to you right now. Some of you are believing that because your kids didn't turn out right, it's all your fault. And I want you to know that it's a lie. We make mistakes. We do. But God gives grace. So we've got to get out of the trap of believing some of these lies. Because the ultimate lies are the lies about God. You know, does God really hear me? Does God really love me? Has God abandoned me? Why does God not stop the pain? Why doesn't he step in the gap? We need the truth, and we need it to radically change our lives. We need it to radically change our hearts. You see, the truth speaks into the pain. And so we're looking at Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read Ephesians 4, and I'm just going to go through and break down this text and see what we can learn from this today. But there are three essentials on truth that we'll find. And so we start in verse 17. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's speaking to the Ephesian church, and here's what he says. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. The first point that I want us to see tonight is this: the truth about life. The truth about life. When it comes to life, what Paul is saying here is as you start to look around, because he uses this term Gentiles, but what that means is just people who don't know God, who don't understand God, and this is what their life looks like. He says it's darkened. He says it's futile. It's not going to lead to anything. He said there's hardness, callousness. He names off all these different sins. And here's the thing. Let's be real. As we look around today, as we look around in our world, the truth is that when it comes to life, people say, you make up your own truth. You make up your own way. You do what's right for you. And what we see as we read through this text is that the people who are believing these things, it's leading them to a destructive life. It's leading on a bad path. And so what Paul is saying here is like, here's what a life looks like apart from God. It's all about me. And I can make up my own truth and do whatever I want when I want. This is how we've got to the point in this world where we don't see kids as a blessing. We see them as a burden. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we don't see as a marriage as for life, but only when it's convenient. And you see how the truths of God start to get murky? And we start to get further and further from that? Paul is saying here, it's a life alienated from the life of God. Foreign, separated. That's what it looks like. And I want you to hear me on this today. If you're in that world right now, God can pull you out. God has the power to pull you out. And so don't settle for this. When we read this, don't settle for that, but just know that that's what it is. And that's what it's leading to. There's a song, I'm a fan of the band The Killers, and don't let that name throw you off, but The Killers have this song called Runaways, and I think it's a great example of what this is. And in this song, it's a guy and a girl, and they fall in love. You know, in this world right now, we think that the truth is, well, you have to find your true love, and that's going to be it, and it's going to be perfect, and all these things. But in this song, he finds his true love. And he says, I'm going to make this promise. I'm going to be a good dad. They get married. And listen to the end of the song, because I love it how they take it from beginning to end. And here's what it says in the end. At night, I come home after they go to sleep, they being the kids. Like a stumbling ghost, I haunt these halls. There's a picture of us on our wedding day. I recognize the girl, but I can't settle in these walls. Do you see that there's something in us that is rebelling and running and not wanting to settle? We need a solution. We need an answer. And what we see Paul's answer being is, in verse 21, truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. We've been running, trying to figure it out on our own. But the truth is in Jesus. See, we want answers from a lot of different places. We want answers from pastors, counselors, doctors. And all of those things are good. But my question is, are you looking for the truth in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, I would ask you, is it working for you? And you can settle tonight and rest in Him, because He's got plenty of grace for you. But that's where it starts. And this is just a side note, but when everybody out there and Barnes & Noble and all of these different places are clamoring, saying, I've got the truth, I've got the truth, I've got the quick fix for your life, be weary of that. Be very weary of that, because it's not going to be a quick fix. And a lot of the times, people try to take the place and the seat of God in your life, and they can't do it. They're not qualified. One of the things that I told my wife before she was my wife, as we were dating, was this, that you have to love Jesus more than you love me, because I'm going to fail you, and I'm not perfect, and I've got brokenness. But I want you to hear the truth. Put your trust in Jesus, and I'm going to point you to Jesus. Love Him more than me, and our marriage is going to be great, and it's going to work out. The second thing that we learn from this passage is in verses 22 through 24. So let's look at that together. Paul says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's break that down first. So when it comes to the world, we look and say, wow, there's a lot of lies out there. We need some truth. But now it is this. The second thing, the second essential to truth is the truth about me. The truth about me. And I'm just going to warn you, this is going to hurt a little bit. But Paul is talking about reality. He says, okay, don't start judging the world out there. Don't start getting all hyped up about how bad the world is. Because here's the thing, that was your former manner of life. That was who you were and what you did before God came into your life. And so you got to know that this isn't us over here judging, but this is us saying, me too. Me too. There's a church in Colorado, Flatirons Church. And when you walk into the building, I was told from a friend, he said, the first thing you see is a sign. And the sign has two words, me too. As you look up on the stage, you see people with t-shirts. Me too. Why me too? Because if you walk in and you feel like you're broken, if you feel like you're hurting, you know what? The same thing is true for the people that are up front and in the crowd. Me too. You see, we are all sinners who are struggling with this thing inside of us. The Bible calls it the flesh, but it just fights against God. It rebels against God. We have to say me too. Because what it says is that we fall into these deceitful desires. Deceitful desires, the things that lie to us and tell us that they're going to fulfill us other than Jesus. The other part that we see from this in talking about the truth about me is he says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this is something that you've got to do. I've got to do. This isn't a natural thing, but to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. One of the things that I try to do is to see Jesus in all of Scripture. To see Jesus in all of this. Because personally, if the truth is in Jesus, I got to be looking for Jesus. And what that is a relationship with him. And one of the things that my kids see, and it's not because of me, it's not because I'm a natural reader or any of those things, but one of the things that my kids do see, and I hope and I challenge the fathers in here to be doing the same thing, is that they see you sitting at the table with your Bible open as you're marking it up, soaking it in for yourself. That's what it means to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. We need a new mind. I need a new mind. That's something that God does through as we read his word, as we see him, as we love him, as we grow in our affections for him. It was funny because a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't funny at the time, I admit that, was I found my daughter with my Bible here, and she had a pen, and she's doing one of these numbers, marking it all up. And I'm like, no! Go grab my Bible. I'm like, I got all my notes in there. I can't believe this is happening. And then my wife comes up to me and tells me, hey, you know why she does that, right? Because she sees you doing it. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Is that what you're passing on to your kids? Listen to this. I love this quote by Martin Luther. He says, the gospel cannot be preached and heard enough, for it cannot be grasped well enough. The gospel is the good news. The good news that Jesus, he loves us, he died for us, he's with us. And when you start to see that all in here, it's like you can't get enough of that. And you know that you need it every day. I need it every day. The last truth is this. The truth changes everything. The truth changes everything. Like, that's pretty generic. But what this is it's about action. Listen to what he says. Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What we see here first is he says, put off that old way of life. You don't have to be a liar anymore. You can actually admit, hey, I am a liar, and start to change and start to be a person of truth. He's like, put that old way behind. You don't have to prove anything anymore. Jesus has already proved it for you. So you can put your trust in him. Put away falsehood. Stop putting up a mask. Stop acting like we've got it all together here. Where is it, the me too in you? Do people see that? Is that a reflection of our lives? Because according to Paul, we need to put that away. When we walk in here, this isn't about acting like we're all together, but saying we need a Savior to come in and change us. He says, man, speak the truth. Speak the truth. And what did he say the truth was? The truth is in Jesus. See, that will start to pour out of your life. When you're radically changed by him, it's not just going to be like those, you know, like, hey, they're just a little crazy for Jesus, a little fanatical for Jesus. It's like, no, that's the thing that changed me. So I got to tell people about that. I got to share that message. I got to let that get out because that's the message that people need. And you start speaking the truth and people start to see a humility in you that wasn't there before because now you're speaking the truth. Say, you know, I'm a broken person. Like we're singing this song, I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. People are like, wow, that's refreshing. I needed to know that I wasn't alone. It starts to just pour out of your life because of a relationship with Jesus. And then you actually start to get to a place where you have a really deep relationship with your kids, your family members, your friends. It's funny how that works because my son loves hearing when I was a kid and the mistakes that I made. My mom was just in town recently, and he's asking her, he's like, just like, hey, you know, when did my daddy do this really bad thing? And I've told him stuff before. I'm like, hey, I did this bad thing, and I took this money or whatever, and I'm like, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good thing, but daddy did it, and Jesus forgave him. So Jesus can forgive you. I don't know why he loves collecting money all the time. He's like all over the place, coin collector, you know? But I'm like, man, this is who I am, and I'm not trying to fake it in front of you. And so are you doing that with your kids? Are you doing that with your wife? Are you doing that with your family? You can't speak the truth until you've been radically changed by the truth. A.W. Tozer says this, the big problem is not whether the Bible is true. The big problem is whether it is true in you. Is it true in you? Let's think about some action steps. What do we do now? How do we work this out? The first thing is, believe that the gospel is for you. Believe that the good news of Jesus is for you. Believe that you're not too far from the hand of God reaching down for you. You're not too far. And he wants to change your life. And I've got to say this. Some of you think, well, I don't have the perfect family. Well, I wasn't the perfect dad. Well, I wasn't the perfect spouse. Now I'm divorced. Now my kids hate me. Start with Jesus. Start with Jesus. Don't think you've got to fix everything before you come to Jesus because that's impossible. Believe it's for you. The next thing is confess often. And here's what I'd say. Men, lead the way. Lead the way. Sometimes we're just too stubborn. Well, I'm just going to let my wife apologize to me first, and then I'll apologize. That's not how it works. God called us to be the leader of the household, and so you need to be first. Confess often and be the first one to go. I know it hurts her pride, but you got to do it. This isn't about pride. It's about growing as a man and as a leader in the household. Men, lead the way on this. The next is listen and consider your family's perspective, even if it hurts. Guys, sit down with your family and ask them, tell me the truth about me. Tell me the truth. Sit them down at the table and say, what's the truth about me? Am I being a good dad? Am I listening? Am I hearing you out? Even if it hurts. Actively seek forgiveness. There are some strained relationships right now. There's some strained relationships in this room. And what you're thinking is, well, I will never forgive that person. And I would just ask you again, who forgave us of the greatest debt? God. We are forgiven people, and so we can forgive because he forgave us first, right? So that in so many different levels, it just shares the truth with people. But I would encourage you, actively seek forgiveness. I'm sorry. If you need to write a note to somebody, get it out there. Don't hold on to the grudge. Don't hold on to the bitterness. And the last one is ask for help. Give people permission into your life. There's somebody, there's a trusted person, friend, someone who knows you. They know your tendencies. For me, it's Grant. And so I've said, hey, I need you to speak truth into my life and tell me when I'm off course. Give somebody the green light. And just be okay with getting feedback. Because that can help in so many different ways for the truth to prevail. I'm going to finish with this. In John 18, 37 through 38, we've got Jesus and he's standing on trial just before he is crucified. And there are people that are coming at him. Lie after lie after lie after lie. We're seeing the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, and people are saying he's a criminal. He deserves to be punished. What we see in John 18, 37 through 38 is Jesus say this, for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Some of us have walked in today. We thought, what is truth? I've never seen truth. I never experienced truth. I grew up in a broken home. I grew up in a relationship that I heard lie after lie after lie. This is truth. That Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The door is wide open. And he stood before the crowd as they chanted, crucify him! Crucify him! And we put the perfect Son of God on the cross for our sins. It was lies that put Jesus on the cross. And he rose on the third day. And he said, anyone who comes to me, you can experience the truth. Because the truth is in Jesus. And you can start to speak the truth when you've been radically changed by the truth. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that today, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, who have never experienced the truth, who are looking at their own performance rather than the performance of Jesus. Maybe they feel like a failure as a parent, as a spouse. Father, they might feel like a failure to you. I pray that today, by your grace, God, they feel the power of Jesus come into their life. And you change them. You radically change them. And it just changes everything for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.